You wouldn't think, like, you know, the adults would be buying orange creamsicle for themselves, but they do.
They just want your big balls.
Oh my God.
Welcome to the Dirty Heifers. I'm Margaret, joined by my fabulous co-hosts, Jesse and Shauna, and we are pretty excited to kick off this episode. Tonight, we're talking about something close to our hearts, starting a business from nothing. Each of us is going to share our stories from the challenges to the big wins and how we turned our passions into businesses. So let's get right down to it. Jesse, tell us what gave you the idea for this episode and then how you started your business.
Well, what I started, I was a school bus driver of all things for my local school district, and it was right when the pandemic hit. It was like April, and my husband was an essential worker, so of course he was at work every day. I was a school bus driver. There was nobody in school, so I was at home all day with the kids. And one Saturday morning, me and my husband were drinking coffee on the and he took a sip of coffee, and he set his coffee cup down, and he said, "Baby, you can drive the school bus for the rest of your life." He said, "I'll bury you in that dang thing, if that's what you want." He said, "But," he said, "you throwing money away driving that school bus." And yeah, sometimes somebody can put things to you, and it just really clicks. That clicked with me, because I knew exactly what he was saying. He knew my passion was making soap. He knew my passion was making soap. And so he was basically telling me that I was missing out on all kinds of money by driving the school bus and not putting every ounce of effort I had into making soap. So I thought about it. I chewed on it for a few days. And 2 or 3 days later, I called my boss. I have never quit a job over the phone, but we couldn't go anywhere. So I called my boss man up, and I quit that job over the phone. And I started, you know, getting things in line. I went to my county tax assessor's office. I purchased my business license through my county. And I started primarily just doing wholesale, you know, business to business and such as that. And, you know, I was doing okay, but I wasn't racking up Benjamins at all, you know. Just struggling to really figure out where I fit in the soap makers business community. And a dear friend of mine, she kept calling me and telling me about TikTok. I need to be making soap on TikTok. I don't ever see any soap makers on TikTok. And I'm not a social media person. I mean, every now and then I'll post pictures of my kids on Facebook, but, you know, making videos, that's not something I saw myself doing. And I finally listened to her, and I started posting content on TikTok. You know, just basic. I still use an iPhone this day to film my videos. Posted a video, and it was just completely, like everything else I do, flying by the seat of my pants. I was frustrated. As far as I could get was 400 followers on TikTok. I wanted to get to 1,000 so that I could, you know, go live and do live soap making and interact real live, real time with my community. Picked up this box of lard, because lard is my main ingredient in my soap, and I threw it on the countertop, and I just started talking to the camera like I am right now. And I said something along the effect of, you know, I really want to go live and make soap, but I can't because I haven't hit that 1,000 follower mark yet. And just talking candidly to the camera, like I am to y'all. And I'd be doggone if that video didn't catch traction, and it, for how many views it got in a 24-hour period. But within 12 hours, I hit over 1,000 followers. And that was huge. So that video, it still circulates a little bit to this day, and I haven't checked to see how many views is on it, but in 4 years' time, I went from 400 followers to now I'm sitting at 83,000 just on TikTok. Not long after that video caught traction, I had people commenting and private messaging me and saying, hey, I want to buy your soap. What's your website? I ain't got a website. I was just planning on doing wholesale. Because TikTok, I had to go get a website. And I got one through Shopify. I still have the same website today. It's just grown over time. And that's just kind of how it all got started. You know, way back like 20, 30 years ago, it was TV commercials. It was newspaper ads. It was such as that. Nowadays, it's social media. If you are a small business in the retail community and you are not on social media, you are cutting your own feet out from under you, because that is a humongous. I think the latest numbers I saw was just on TikTok. There's over 170 million TikTok users in the United States alone. And you have to look at every one of those people as a potential customer. And it's free to post. It don't cost you a thing in the world to post. And not just TikTok. I mean, you got Facebook, you got Instagram, you've got YouTube, you've got all the different little socials. They're free to post. You're leaving money on the table if you don't post to social media. I never was a social media person, but I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where my business took me. So there's my little spiel. So Shauna, how did you...
Well, I spoke some about that in the last episode about how we ended up where we are today. Similar story, but it was on Facebook. I started doing it as
dang
hobby.
Old Facebook.
What was that?
Said dang old Facebook.
Dang old Facebook. The old people's social media.
The old folks' social media.
Retirement home.
Margaret's glaring at you.
Taking notes.
She's a note taker. So I was just posting on Facebook, just on my personal page of what I was doing, and friends from various parts of my life, you know, I've got several different stages there with all my training. They started asking if, hey, are you going to sell this? We really like to buy it. And I was like, no, not planning on it. Like I said last time, I just wasn't. But they kept asking and they kept asking and they kept asking. So we did launch as a result of all the attention on Facebook. And I don't know if I started the Instagram then or later, to be perfectly honest. But I didn't come onto TikTok until like 21-ish. I think it was after the big first wave of it. So I came to TikTok later. I honestly still am not huge on there. Like I'm holding like 5,500 followers or something like that. It's a very slow growth. And I have a hard time finding the time to go live. And I think that's a big part of my problem. But you are correct. It's this social media is really how you advertise these days, and promoting your videos on social media is the best marketing. And there are people out there to help with figuring out which platform works best for you. Funny enough, I get more plays on Instagram, but my Instagram ads didn't do as well as my TikTok ads. It's very weird. We're not running any ads right now, but just doing the videos and interacting with people is the best way, like you said, to advertise for free. Now, it takes a lot of time. And don't even bother trying to figure out the algorithm, because you're just never going to figure it out. Nobody ever figures that thing out.
When you figure it changes.
I was just going to say, yeah, it changes exactly. All the time.
It changes about three to four times a year it's going to change.
So I just say, you know what? I'm just going to post. Just keep posting, and slow growth is better than no growth, right? Even if you have a video that goes viral, that doesn't guarantee you're going to increase any business. You might get a few orders from it, but it's just people interacting with things. Funny enough, I just was laughing with my husband. Someone was liking one of my old videos, and it was just the video where I threw a shower steamer in the shower and was talking about how you use a shower steamer. That's like my most viewed, shared, saved, and interacted with TikTok out there, which yeah. is probably took the least effort of any of the videos I made.
The ones you don't plan.
Yeah. It's right. Weird how that works. You know, I think about 6 months ago, I was, I had a bunch of notifications come on my TikTok, and it was a video I'd posted like a year prior. And all of a sudden it hit the FYP and it was going. I'm like, why didn't this go when I posted it? But for some reason it caught traction like a year after I posted it. It's weird how that works.
Yes, it is.
You know, and I've just recently started posting on YouTube Shorts, and sometimes I get better numbers with YouTube Shorts than I do with TikTok.
Yeah,
it's weird how that works.
Yeah, I've posted on YouTube Shorts too. I really do not YouTube as much as I should, to be honest.
I find that the Shorts works better for me and my short attention span than the regular, like, long-form content, YouTube videos. Those things are so slow to catch any traction. I've had a couple that, you know, over time, I think that's the thing, is the longer-form content, it takes time for it to catch traction. But the YouTube, the public nowadays, they are so, all of our attention spans are so short. Like, if the video's over a minute, we're like, ah, never mind.
Yeah, scroll. It's true.
So, it's like we're all ADHD now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what's really funny? I remember in a post, I think it was on Saponification Nation, someone was complaining, said, why does everybody speed up their soap making videos? And that's exactly why, is that
because if you don't speed them up,
sit there and watch you stick blend for five
stick
minutes.
Stick blend nobody for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Nobody wants to watch that. So you just speed up.
Well, if you think about it, like back when we were learning how to make soap and we watched somebody stick blend soap, what did you do?
You sat there watching for 5 minutes.
You double tap the screen to try to get through it because they were just going to stick blend forever.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But I think whenever I was watching a video about Trace, I think I actually watched that at speed because I was trying to learn Trace. You know, now you would.
Well, yeah, when you're learning. And it depends on what you're doing. Like John and I will put on soap making videos and then we'll go make dinner or whatever. And so they're just, the long ones will play. But if I'm sitting and actively watching, I'm watching it fast forward.
Yeah. But that's funny because you also like, there was, all your videos need to be under a minute, right? Nobody was going to watch unless it was under a minute.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, now we want your videos to be longer than a minute. But we want them to be in landscape, but you can only do landscape if they're longer than a minute.
I just got a notification I can go up to 60 minutes.
Woo.
On TikTok.
I quit looking at all those notifications.
I think I got that too, but I don't go 60 minutes.
Yeah, no, I'm not too.
Nah, God. That's too long. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Nobody wants to watch a 60-minute video on TikTok.
No, not on TikTok.
So, well, Margaret, how'd you get your start?
Well, my journey started pretty simple. I first started out by ordering a soap mold from Amazon, and I decided to dive right in after watching a couple of YouTube videos. I had no experience, no plan, just a love for soap making and wanting to try it. So you don't really need to have everything figured out when you start. Sometimes just taking that first step is the most important part. And after making a few batches, I realized I need to understand more about what I'm doing. And I read scientific soap making, and that opened my eyes to the science behind the ingredients and how they interact, which helped me create better batches, right?
So you actually read a book on how to make soap?
I did.
I ain't got the attention span for that.
Well, this book, it's
okay,
the
Ms.
kind
Walmart
of book.
Soap.
Okay, so being a teacher, right, I'm going to teach you a little something right now, right? So it's not like a fiction book This is a nonfiction book, right? And there are different kinds of books, right? So there's the kind of book, like when you're reading a fiction book, you start at page one and you go right through to the end. I was reading scientific soap making. So that was more of a, you didn't have to read chapter one to understand chapter 15, right? So that book was more of a dip in and dip out. Right. That's what I teach to the kids. Right. So I would, you know, open it up, figure out what am I going to do today? Oh, here's a section on additives. That's what I really want to know about. What is this additive going to do? What is that additive going to do? So that book was really good for that. Right.
I actually have that book. I started reading it and I just I couldn't get into it. I don't know. You know,
it was written like a textbook. So
right, I mean, exactly. It's a reference book. It really.
And really. I struggled for every C I got in high school. So that's probably
so. When you think about it, whether you're soap making, you're baking, you're starting a tech business, investing time, whether you're starting a tech business,
Margaret is the Snoop Dogg of the soap making world.
Right. Listen,
the business.
I got some business for you.
Margaret's gonna break down the biznick for you.
All right. So I did read that book because no matter what you're doing, invest your time and learn your craft. The more you understand, the more confident and creative you're gonna become. So eventually I decided to turn soap making into a business. I filed the paperwork here in New York. It cost $95, I think. And honestly, I had no clue what I was doing. It was intimidating, but I just kept moving forward one step at a time, right? So starting a new business can feel overwhelming, but don't let that stop you. You take one task at a time and don't be afraid to learn as you go.
Well, it's like I've had several people message me over the past couple of years about starting a soap making business. And I tell them, say, look, the government can't eat you. Okay. You know, if you'll learn as you go, like we've all have, and you don't know how you're going to do unless you try. And do you want to look back, you know, 20, 30 years from now and say, man, I wish I'd have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to look back on it? Even if you failed and it fell through, like,
tried.
At least I tried, you know,
right.
You got to try.
Yep.
I would say not to like do two batches of soap and then launch your business. So we see that sometimes.
Yeah, that's probably. Or, like, or I haven't even tried making soap yet, but I want to.
I had one message me this week, and she wanted to know all the ins and outs of starting a business. And I'm like, whoa, hold up. Hold your horses. Have you made soap yet? No, she had not made soap. She wanted to start a business, had not even made soap. I said, okay. I said, you got to hold on to the reins. Pull back a little bit. I'm like, you need to slow down. I said, this is going to sound, you know, really disheartening. Y'all know me. I'm up front.
Yep.
I said, you got to pull them reins. I said, you need to slow down a little bit. I said, you got to slow down. I said, you need to make soap. And here I am trying to tell her, like, you need to make an unfragranced batch of soap. You got to crawl before you walk.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am telling her all this, and she was wondering, and she said, well, what base do I need to order? Base? She was wondering about Meltipore. I said, honey, I don't know nothing about Meltipore. I'll tell you right up front, that is not my wheelhouse. I've never made a loaf of Meltipore soap in my life.
I have, but by accident.
I mean, yeah. But it just, and I'm not hating on this person at all. You know,
right.
she didn't know. And, you know,
you don't.
Us as kind of seasoned veterans, you've got to tell people. And sometimes it breaks their hearts. But I'd rather somebody break my heart and be honest with me.
Yeah.
Than sugarcoat the crap out of it and fill me up with false hope and throw me to the wolves.
Yeah. Well, I think part of being a veteran and being experienced at this is we make it look easy. And people think, oh, well, I can do that, which you can do it, but you have to understand. And I mentioned in the last video, I'm a physician. And when I was in medical school, and it's the same thing with the soap, I think there are things I can do that could hurt other people if I'm not careful.
Exactly.
And, you know, in my job and in soap making, you could hurt people if you don't know what you're doing and understand the science behind it and all the other things, like what everything does and the purpose of it. So the idea that, you know, you haven't even made soap yet and I'm going to launch a business, but I don't even know how to make soap. I don't know how long it has to cure. I don't know the regulations behind it. And there are regulations behind it.
Right.
Yep.
Which is why, you know, I did read the book and
learned
everything from that. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why I bring up, like, don't think, you know, two batches in, you're ready to go.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all.
I mean, you know, you need to make an unfragranced soap. You got to get your technique down.
Yeah.
Once you do that, then you can start playing around with fragrances, because fragrances is a whole other animal.
Yeah.
You've got some that will. Margaret, y'all both know. You both made soap where it legit seized on your stick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you can do with it.
Nope.
You've got to learn what fragrances will seize, what fragrances will rise. Margaret, you went with me. You helped me on first fragrance I ever had that riced.
That riced, yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I'd never run into that. You know, and you've got to figure out, you know, what process you want to do. Are you going to do melting pour? Are you going to do cold process? Then what methodology are you going to use with cold process? Are you going to do hot process? I mean, it's just a great big world to go into a little bar soap.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it is easy, but like with anything, like baseball, it's easy, but you've got to get your technique down.
Yep.
With any craft, you've got to get that technique down before you got to crawl before you can run.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things I see too on there, someone's like, oh, I use this fragrance, or I had this happen to my soap. And they say, okay, well, you got to tell us like what you put in the soap. You got to tell us about your fragrance and everything. And it turns out it's some fragrance they bought at the craft store. That's not even a soap safe fragrance.
So, not even right. Skin safe. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's so many factors that people need to understand before they go out and launch something to the public.
Right.
Yeah.
Really. It's a duty. It really is a duty to make sure you know what you're doing before you put this out there.
Right. Do your due diligence.
You said duty.
All right. So
if she could reach through the screen and slap me, she would.
So moving back onto my story, right?
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
When I was starting out, one of the biggest challenges that I had was building my website, right? I spent an entire summer figuring it out, learning from tutorials, trial and error. And at the same time, we decided that our product model would be that we keep certain stock soaps in stock all year long while we offer seasonal specials and holiday specials, things like that. You know, some people do a monthly release. We decided we weren't going to go that way, right? So whether it's a website, a product plan, or business strategy, it's really worth the time and effort to start small and then build from there, right?
Right.
Our first investment was tiny, just the Amazon mold, a cutter, basic ingredients. But then we started selling, and we used the proceeds from those to buy bigger molds, better cutters, and eventually oil tanks and all the equipment that I have now. So when you reinvest in your business as you grow, you can focus on what your process is going to be, making yourself more efficient, improving your product quality, and things like that, right? And as you guys were saying, social media, that's another big hurdle for business people, right? We signed up for everything, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, X. Then we started filming ourselves making soap, right? And you're posting it everywhere. It's not as easy as it looks, but it's been one of the best ways to connect with our audience, like you guys were saying. Don't shy away from showing your work online. Authenticity matters more than perfection, and social media is a really powerful way to build a loyal following. I mean, that's how we met, right? So as sales grew, I realized that we needed business insurance and a way to track finances. So that's when we got QuickBooks, which made accounting manageable. And I also joined the Handcrafted Soap and Cosmetic Guild, where I also learned so much about the rules and the regulations of the industries, right? So not only do you have to build your business, but you have to protect your business with the right tools and resources, like seek out industry associations or groups. They're often a gold mine of knowledge and support. So no matter what your business, there is going to be some kind of group or association that will help you out and lead you in the right direction, right? And then looking back, when I was in high school, there was no classes that taught you how to do business, right? Or how to be a business owner. Everything I've learned has been through experience, research, and asking for help. It's been a pretty wild ride, but it's also been pretty rewarding, right? Don't let the lack of a formal training hold you back, because with curiosity, persistence, and a willingness to learn, you can really achieve anything.
Absolutely.
And you know, that is something that is not so much frowned upon presently, but you know, 3-4 years ago,
self-education, if you were like someone that had developed a craft through your own curiosity and self-education, self-taught, that was frowned upon. That's not, and you know, I'm really going to show my roots here, but I had rather hire somebody, like say you're going to hire somebody to remodel your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I had lots rather hire somebody that has spent 20 years in that field of study or field of work, you know, working from the bottom up, learning gradually, just continually putting knowledge in their bag, than somebody that's went to school for all these years and thinks they know everything and doesn't have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not dogging education, but in certain circumstances and certain fields, that experience is going to trump education 9 times out of 10.
Yep.
You know, you've got to, you know, it's like I told this chick the other day, I'm like, she was so scared to fail. I'm like, you can't be scared to fail. That's how you learn. You have got to fail. You don't know what it is to succeed unless you fail. Can't be scared of failure. It's yeah. how we learn.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So now that we each shared how we started out, how about you share just a quick little story? Maybe you have something funny or tragic that kind of happened to you in the beginning of your business journey. Maybe you can share that. Do either of you have one? If not,
Got to think for a minute.
I know that when I first launched, and you know, I had all the counts down for my stock for everything. And that very first launch was very successful because I had been talking about it for so long. It was all over Facebook and people were clamoring for it. So I had several orders and it took me days to get the orders done. And I remember at one point I went to pack an order and I was out of something that the person had ordered and I started to panic. And then as I'm sitting there panicking, I'm thinking, oh gosh, this is embarrassing. I'm going to have to tell her my counts were wrong, even though I counted them 14 times before I launched. And I was really down on myself for that. Like, this is my first big mistake. And then I thought, God, there was another order just like this. And I was like, wait a minute. And I started thinking about it and I went back and dug through all the bags because I had several people who had ordered at work. So it was going to be a local pickup. And I had already packed her order. And that's why my counts were off.
Been there, done that.
So yeah. I was about ready to send her. Thank goodness I didn't send an email. I was about ready to send her an email. I was like, I am so sorry. My counts were off and I didn't have what you ordered, but I had already packed it. And yeah, that was a funny story from the very beginning fresh launch.
Okay.
So I've got something it's not like from when I first launched, but from when my business really started popping. I was actually in Washington, D.C. on my first TikTok sponsored trip. I had left, like, I, you know, it's nothing for me to get like an influx of orders and it'd be like, you know, 15 or 20. Okay. So I was, you know, with my website, I would have like a certain amount of product in stock, but with Shopify, there's a toggle where you can leave it where, you know, it'll continue to sell if you're out of stock, which at the time I would put like 25 bars of each on stock. But if it went past stock, it's not like I was going to run out of soap.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in DC and TikTok had come and filmed that ad on me. You know, they'd come to the house and filmed and they decided to show this they told me it was a documentary, but they decided to show it as an advertisement while I'm in DC and not at the house where I can package orders. So here I am, I'm in DC and all of a sudden my phone is going cha-ching, like once every other minute, cha-ching. For those of y'all who don't know, when you have a Shopify website, anytime you have an order that comes in, your phone will go cha-ching, let you know there's an order that's come in. Well, here I am up in D.C. and my phone, I finally had to turn it on silent because I'm walking around dinner parties and such as that, and my phone's going cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I'm trying to talk to folks like I'm important people. and my phone's just going nuts. And so finally that evening, I open up my app and I go, oh crap. I go in there and I switch everything to where it'll quit selling product while it's out of stock. My website sold out completely while I was in DC. Like,
wow.
Everything was gone. And I come in and everything I have made is already spoken for. So at that point, I had to learn, okay, this is going to be a reoccurring thing now. I need to stay bare minimum 150 bars ahead.
Yeah.
Just in case something like this happens. So you live and you learn. Little things like that make you evolve, make you learn. And that's why I keep such a large stock of soap. It's not necessarily that I'm selling that much right now. It's in case.
When they run the ad again.
Hey, it's a blessing.
Remember what happens. I remember you going like, oh my gosh, guys. It's like, I don't know what to do right now. This is insane.
my husband, he had to calm me down because I was like, I was getting ready to go to this event that night, and I'm sitting here, and I'm one of those that I can always kind of figure out what to do, and I'm sitting there in a hotel room, right outside the National Mall, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't go home and make soap. I can't go package orders right now. What do I do? I'd never been in a situation like that. And he had to sit me down. He said, there's nothing you can do right now. Call your kids. Get them to start, you know, doing what they can. Because they were at the house. They were on spring break. And I did that. I got them to bevel soap and get some soap processed that could go out within the next week. So when our feet hit the ground and we drunk coffee and such, I legit started making soap. Like, I think I made 3 batches in one day. In my little laundry room that I was working out of. It was, you learn, you evolve, and you know, nothing will push you to learn or evolve more than, you know, a mishap or a failure. You know, because that's a failure. And you tell yourself that's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn from it.
Yep.
I have to say, that's why I don't allow back orders on any of my products. Because I'm terrified of that happening.
Oh, yeah, I don't do back orders either.
Well, it's controlled chaos. when that happens and you've got people messaging you 50 times a day wanting to order, then you put up pre-orders on your website and you put up a certain amount. You make sure that toggle is switched on. Like, no, you cannot sell when this runs out of stock. But that's when I had to list everything as a pre-order. And I made sure, you know, it was listed in big, bold caps. This is a pre-order item. It will not ship till such and such date.
Yeah.
You know, right. I'm talking right under the title. So the customer could not say, you know, I had no clue. I'm like, no, it was there. And, you know, but that's a whole other bear. That's controlled chaos. But sometimes it's necessary when you've got folks that's wanting orders or folks that's wanting soap. You got to make it happen somehow or you're missing out on money.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if we all had this same thing in the beginning. And we'll get to you, Margaret. Sorry. I'm not skipping over you.
We keep getting stuck and missing Margaret.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. I had to
get over in the very beginning. I hated when I couldn't get an order out in the day or two after it came in, you know, and sometimes you just have to get over that. Be like, listen, you know, sometimes it's going to take a few days to ship. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
that's normal for any business. I mean, there's stuff that you know, you order from a big business and you don't even think about it when it takes them a week to ship an order, right? But for some reason, we put on ourselves that you need to ship out the next day. And even right now, there's an order that came in 2 days ago.
And yeah.
It's a little different on the holidays, but in general, you're like, you got to just relax and say,
this too shall pass.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. you don't have to be Johnny on the spot all the time.
Yeah. No, you don't.
No. Not at all.
All right. So there I was sitting at a doctor's appointment with AJ, minding my business.
So I'm not the only one here with squirrel brain. Let's just make that evident and you mark that on your calendar, okay? We've established all these heifers have squirrel brain. I'm just rubbing off on them.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let me see.
Breathe.
Come on, Margaret.
Ready?
Move.
All right, here we go. I'm going to tell mine like a story.
All right. A story?
You're very good at that.
I'm all right at that. So there I was, sitting at an appointment, minding my business, when my phone buzzed with an alert. Order failed. No big deal, right? Tech glitches happen. So I figured I'd check it out when I got home, but then another alert came. And another. And another. Order failed. It was like my phone was possessed. I thought, oh, what did I break this time? I'm not a tech wizard. But I was convinced that I must have clicked some random button on the back end of the website and somehow angered the internet gods, right? Then the alerts started piling up faster than soap in my curing rack. And that's when it hit me. This isn't a glitch. I'm being attacked. Cue panic mode. I'm not a programmer. I don't even know what half the buttons on my website dashboard do. All I know is that thousands of failed orders were flooding my site. They were clogging it up.
Make this clear. She doesn't know what half the buttons are on her website. She is a technology teacher at her school.
Yeah, anyway.
That's a good point.
It's an elementary school. The standards for its elementary school are not website design. Anyway, so these orders were clogging up my site. I had so much that, like, it was insane. I couldn't figure out what they were even trying to, what are you trying to do? So I rushed home like the house was on fire, calling John. He's going, what's going on? By the time I got there, my website looked like it had just been trampled by a herd of angry heifers, right? Thousands of fake orders were stacking up faster than I can say goat's milk oatmeal. Cool. I called up my hosting company. I know that was a bad one. I called up my hosting company hoping that they would have some kind of magical solution, and their advice was to add reCAPTCHA to my website. Sure, easy peasy, right? Except I had no idea how I was going to do that. So what do? I turn to my trusty friend YouTube, and there I am typing how to add reCAPTCHA to stop robots from destroying my life. And hours went by.
Dramatic much?
I know. A few hours went by while I fiddled with the settings. I copied the code. I crossed my fingers that I wouldn't accidentally delete my entire website. Meanwhile, the failed orders are still rolling in like some kind of digital tsunami. It was like trying to plug a leak with a bar of soap. It's not happening, right? Finally, after what felt like an eternity, I activated the reCAPTCHA and the failed orders stopped. The site was quiet and I could breathe again. And what did I learn from this? Well, first of all, never underestimate the power of angry robots. Second, always have reCAPTCHA ready to go because you never know when your website might be the target of a virtual food fight. A
virtual fluff food fight.
A food fight. They're just throwing it at me. Looking back, it's funny now, right? But at the time, it was not funny. No. But at least I can add amateur cybersecurity specialist to my list of skills. Right?
Right. That reminds me. So I started on a Shopify too, and then we went to WooCommerce, which is what you're on, Margaret, right? So
yes,
we were fiddling around with things, and I was trying to fix things between, it's very confusing when you have like wholesale options and you have like retail options and things. And then you're trying to fix the shipping options for all those different things. And those different roles is what they call them. And one day I was messing with things and I unclicked a box in the shipping. That's all I did. I unclicked an option under shipping and my entire website went down.
See?
The old crap meter went.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I had to tell my husband, I was like, oh my gosh, the entire website is down. I don't know what's going on. And he says, you know what? So thankfully he knew how to go back and like find the last version that was saved of the website and reinstate that. And then we actually do have a web team and they went back. That was like, no harm done. You got it fixed. But I was like, you know what? I'm not touching any more buttons on that back end. Cause it can get very confusing. On WooCommerce, you can customize it so well, but you have to make sure all those different plugins play well together. Just one little button.
Yep. Can really throw shipping. A wrench in the works.
How did a button in shipping crash my entire site? I found it.
I couldn't tell you. Well,
you got major skills is what you got.
I do. Need your website crashed? Call me.
Hacker ain't got nothing on me.
Right. Well, that's a wrap on today's episode of The Dirty Heifers. We've had some laughs, we shared some lessons, and hopefully inspired a few of you to dive into your own business journey, even if it's one sudsy step at a time. Starting from business from nothing is messy, unpredictable, and sometimes feels like a soap bar slipping out of your hands. But trust us, it's worth it. And before we go, here's one final thought. No matter how crazy things get, remember that every big success starts with a single step. Or in our case, a single mold. Thanks for hanging out with us. And don't forget to follow The Dirty Heifers on social media and subscribe to our YouTube channel and our TikTok and for more behind the scenes fun stories and all the bubbly goodness that you can handle. Until next time, may your soap bubbles be big, your lather be luxurious, and your dreams rise as high as your cold processed loaf. Stay dirty, heifers.